Good morning. Today we arrive at the Feast of the Divine Mercy. I know some of you cannot attend in the afternoon. Can or no? Cannot. Thanks. Because the Leech of Mary, they go to Changzhou for the procession of the Fatima, Our Lady Fatima. So, divine and true. Now continue, last time, it seems in 1934, this period, this phrase. During adoration, I felt God close to me. A moment later, I saw Jesus and Mary. At the sight of them, I was filled with joy, and I asked the Lord, "What is your will, Jesus, concerning the matter about which my confessor told me to ask you?" Jesus replied, "It's my will that he should remain here and that he should not take the initiative of dispensing himself." Because his confessor doesn't want to, I think, listen to her confession, I think. I asked Jesus whether the inscription could be "Christ, King of Mercy." He answered, "I am King of Mercy." But he did not say "Christ." I decided that this image be displayed in public on first Sunday after Easter, Jesus' birthday. That Sunday is the Feast of Mercy. Through the word incarnate, I make known the bottomless depth of my mercy. So the term "Christ, King of Mercy," originally she wanted to have that, but Jesus simplified, told me the word. Feast of Mercy, this simple word. This 1935, strangely, all things came about just as the Lord had requested. In fact, it was on the first Sunday after Easter, April 1935, that the image was publicly honored by crowds of people for the first time, 1935. For 3 days, it was exposed and received public veneration. Since it was placed at the very top of the window at Ostra Brahma, Shrine of Our Lady above the eastern gate to the city of Vilnius of the convent, above the road. There's a corridor upside, or up in the corridor. It could be seen from a greater distance. At Ostra Brahma, during these 3 days, the closing of the Jubilee of the Redemption of the World was being celebrated, marking the 1900 years that have passed since the Passion of our Lord. I see now that the work of redemption is bound up with the work of mercy requested by the Lord. Redemption and mercy goes together. One day, I saw interiorly how much my confessor would have to suffer. Friends would desert you, while everyone will rise up against you, and your physical strength will diminish. I saw you as a bunch of grapes chosen by the Lord and thrown into the press of suffering. Your soul, Father, will at times be filled with doubts about this work and about me. This is not easy. Even Jesus' work, so much doubts by people, by learned people. I saw God himself seem to be opposing him. And I asked the Lord why he was acting in this way toward him, as though he were placing obstacle in the way of his doing what he himself had asked him to do. And the Lord said, "I'm acting thus with him to give testimony that this work is mine. Tell him, confessor, not to fear anything. My gaze is on him day and night. there will be as many crowns to form his crown as there will be souls saved by this work. It's not for the success of a work, but for the suffering that I give reward. So it's not just exposing a picture. It's an invitation that we have to share the passion of Christ. It's more meaningful, right? We share his passion. So if you have any suffering this time, offer it towards Jesus. He knows it. This is our celebration. If nothing happened, all peace is not together with the suffering not. The grace comes from offering suffering. I think it's very important. Many times you have another impression of, oh, how nice, possession is more important. You yourself, one with the Lord, the suffering Lord, you carry your cross eternally, with peace also, with him, but there's also cross, little cross. Oh my Jesus, you don't know what persecution I suffer. And this only because I'm being faithful to you and following your orders, because the people is thinking that she's insane, thinking so much things, strange things. Get a picture, expose the people, never did it, no. You are my strength, sustain me, and I may always carry out what you ask of me. Of myself, I can do nothing, but when you sustain me, all difficulties are nothing for me. Oh my Lord, I can see very well that from the time when my soul first received the capacity to know you, my life has been a continuous struggle which has become increasingly intense. The more you close to Jesus, the more you want to offer, the more crosses. Shared. Jesus wants us to share part of his suffering. Every morning during meditation, I prepare myself for the whole day's struggle. Holy Communion assures me that I will win the victory. And so it is. I feel the day when I do not receive Holy Communion. The bread of strength of the strong gives me all the strength I need to carry on my mission and the courage to do whatever the Lord asks of me. The courage and strength that are in me and a lot of me, but of him who lives in me, it is the Eucharist. So you can imagine the relationship with the Eucharist is very strong with Sister Faustina. And you too, if you want to be more one with the Lord, have devotion towards us, the Blessed Sacrament. Oh my Jesus, the misunderstandings are so great. Sometimes we not for the Eucharist, I would not have the courage to go any further along the way you have marked out for me. You see, her strength comes from the Eucharist, adoration, one with the Lord. To go away, close and close. Humiliation is my daily food. You can imagine from the way the sisters looking at her, you can receive so much. You know, you feel despised. I understand that the bride must herself share in everything that is the groom's. That's Jesus. You know, whatever Jesus suffered, we share. And so his cloak of mockery must cover me. At those times when I suffer much, I try to remain silent, as I do not trust my tongue, which at such moments is inclined to talk of itself, while its duty is to have me praise God for all the blessings and gifts which he has given me. So even you have all the little crosses, give thanks to the Lord. Not just ask why. When I receive Jesus in the Holy Communion, I ask him fervently to die to heal my tongues so that I would offend neither God nor neighbor by it. I want my tongue to praise God without cease. Great are the faults committed by the tongue, the soul will not attain sanctity if it does not keep watch over its tongue. That's why a heavenly mother always on earth, huh? Put it in her heart, not in your tongue. You understand what this means for you, for me? Of course, we want to express our regret, our anger. Sometimes the devil using your tongue to do all the troubles. Maybe by no intentions. But the devil is very smart. He creates whatever you said, said. No return. Sometimes, you know, by joking, then the person may hate you for life. Do you understand that? It can be. Not necessary. Now this is a concern for vows. A short version of the catechism of the vows. That's a scripture, a writing. What is a vow? A vow is a voluntary promise made to God to carry out a more perfect act. It's a vow binding in a matter which is the object of a commandment. Yes, the carrying out of an act which is the object of a commandment has a double value and merit. And the neglect of such an act is a double transgression and evil. Because by breaking such a vow, we add to the sin against the commandment, the sin of sacrilege. That's for the sisters. You take the vows, they don't. Why do religious vows have such a value? Because they are the foundation of religious life, approved by the church, is in which the members bound together in a religious community, undertake to strive always for perfection by means of the three religious vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, observed according to the rules. What's the meaning of the word strive for perfection? To strive for perfection means that the religious life does not in itself demand that perfection be already attained, but obliges, under the pain of sin, that we work daily to attain it. Therefore, a religious who does not want to become perfect neglects his principal duty of state. What are solemn religious vows? Solemn religious vows are so solemn, so absolute, that in extraordinary cases, only the Holy Father can dispense from them. What are simple religious vows? These are vows which are less absolute. The Holy See dispense from perpetual and annual vows. Question: what's the difference between a vow and a virtue? A vow pertains only to that which is commanded under the pain of sin. The virtue goes beyond this and helps in the carrying out of the vow. On the other hand, by breaking the vow, we fail in the virtue and do it damage. To what do the religious vows oblige us? The religious vows oblige us to strive to acquire the virtues and to submit ourselves completely to our superiors and to the rules which are enforced. Thus the religious gives his own person to the community, renouncing every right over himself or herself and his actions, which he sacrifices to the service of God. It's always sacrifice. You want to listen to the vow of poverty? You want to listen? Or you want? Does it concern you? No, this is for the sisters. Doesn't concern you, eh? Yes or no?
Yes.
Examine of conscience for them. Now, the vow of poverty. The vow of poverty is the voluntary renunciation of the right over property to the use of such property with the purpose of pleasing God. What objects does the vow to poverty concern? All those goods and those objects which pertain appertain to the community. We have no longer any rights over anything that has been given to us. Once it has been accepted, whether an article or money, all these donations and presents which may have been given us out of gratitude or in any other way belong to the right of the community, not your pocket. We cannot make use without violating the vow of any wage or any wages we may receive for work or even any annuity. It's not for you, doesn't matter you. I think you sometimes you might use that price more, because most of money go to your family, go to the Philippines. Sometimes if they better use of it, you will satisfy. Sometimes they misuse it, you feel sad, right? We understood the religious superior, they will make better use of the money. They won't just spend just anything. You know, at least you feel safe. The money is in a good hand. But sometimes your money might not go to the good hand. Eh? This is your cross. You suffer a lot, right? When do we break the vow or violate the vow in a matter which entails the seventh commandment? We break or violate when, without permission, we take for ourselves anything that belongs to the house. When, without permission, we retain something in order to appropriate it. And when, without authorization, we sell or exchange something that belongs to the community. When we make use of an object for any other purpose than that intended by the superior. When we give to or accept from another anything whatsoever without permission. When by negligence we destroy or damage something. When in going from one house to another, we take something with us without permission. Wow, serious, eh? In a situation where the vow is broken, the religious is bound to restitution to the community. It's too much for you. Don't want to listen, eh? Yeah. It's not that today, eh? Or the superior giving all the big allowance, take anything, you know, all the paper. No, this is only last century. The spirit is important. Well, we go to the other vows. It's not, doesn't matter this. Okay, now we come to another, what's the time? One phrase, huh? A deeper knowledge of God and the terror of the soul. In the beginning, God lets himself be known as holiness, justice, goodness, that is to say, mercy. The soul does not come to know this all at once, but piecemeal, in flashes, that is to say, when God draws near. And this does not last for long, because the soul could not bear such light. During prayer, the soul experiences flashes of this light, which make it impossible to pray as before. Try as he may to force itself to prayer as he did before, all this in vain. It becomes completely impossible for it to continue to pray as it did before it received this light. This light which has touched the soul is alive within it, and nothing can either quench or diminish it. This fresh knowledge of God draws the soul and enkindles its love for him. But this same flesh, at the same time, allows the soul to know itself as it is. The soul sees its whole interior in a superior light, and it rises up alarmed and terrified. Still, it does not remain under the effect of terror, but it begins to purify himself, to humble and abase itself before the Lord. This light becomes stronger and more frequent. The more the soul is crystallized, the more these lights penetrate. However, if the soul has responded faithfully and courageously to these first graces, God fills it with his consolations and gives himself to it in a perceptible manner. At certain moments, the soul, as it were, enters into intimacy with God and greatly rejoices in this. It believes that it has already reached the degree of perfection destined for it, because its defects and faults are steeped within it, and this makes it think that they no longer exist. Nothing seems difficult for it. It is ready for everything. It begins to plunge into itself into God and taste divine light. It is carried along by grace and does not take account of the fact that a time of trial and testing may come. And in fact, this state does not last long. Other moments will soon come. I should add here, however, that a soul will respond more faithfully to divine grace if it has a well-formed confessor to whom it can confide everything. That is very important. Now, she's sharing her experience. She got a grace to meet Jesus. At that times, so much light. And at times, become not so strong. Maybe in all, also in temptation also. So they need a confessor to balance. The more you're close to Jesus, the more you need. Even you don't have a confessor. At times, also a time to share with the confessor something, you know. Maybe give you peace, maybe give you doubt or all these things. And then you need to have someone to affirm, to confirm. Because at times we doubt, and then we worried. Sometimes worry doesn't come from God. Sometimes maybe we have a sense of going for perfection. Sometimes too much attached to this the word perfection, and then you disturb, maybe you, by scrupulosity, and by something you don't understand very well, and then you told yourself you didn't do it rightly. At times we have these doubts, devils in between, with you unease. That's why they say it's very important. Even sometimes, though, Jesus told Faustina, in the confession, it's I, through the priest as a will, it's I who listen through a person. You see? You must be humble also. It's not the priest great, no. We need first people to help us to be sanctified. We can't just go on your own. In the world, not too many people understand your experience, spiritual experiences. At least the priest, he got the grace of movement of his movement of grace as a confessor. God through him gave you some light. That's very important. That's why in Medjugorje, the Heavenly Mother invite the parishioners to confess once a month. Many times, nothing to confess. Unless you say you don't kill people, of course, nothing to confess. Many times, if you want to go towards perfection, it's a little better and better. Not necessarily become a nun, but you become a holy person. We need to come closer. And the devil is trying to take you away. There's also the strength there. You have to understand. So, we pray. And today is a very special day. Also, our Blessed Pope, JP2, today in Rome, being blessed, and invite him to protect us. He is the protector of divine mercy. You know, all these the half century, nobody wanted the responsibility to solemnize the feast of divine mercy, only on the canonization day of Sister Faustina at the same time in the year 2000, solemnize the feast of divine mercy. You can understand. John Paul suffered a lot. Not many theologians or even bishops agree with what he's doing. But he doesn't care. His mind, his heart, tortured souls. all belongs to our Heavenly Mother. Nothing. He reserved nothing for himself. Only for the glory of God, for the grace, by the grace of Heavenly Mother, he is doing. And to the end of his life, he is always strong in her. So you too, we too, if we are weak before the Eucharistic sacrament, ask the Heavenly Mother to help us to be like her. Keep in our heart no tongues. Keep less tongues this week, huh? Less tongues, less gossips, less telephone call if it's not necessary. If even you receive, stop it when you are aware it's gossiping. It's a sin against chastity. No, sorry, charity. You don't love. If you want to close the Blessed Sacrament. Otherwise, what's the meaning of every Sunday you come so early to the chapel and adoration and the whole week? No compensation. Don't feel, oh, I'm used. At least for half an hour, I stay with Jesus. Then you are saved. Of course, if you say sorry, your sins are cleansed. But don't do it again. You know, there's a woman accused of anything. Your sins are forgiven. But don't do it again. Otherwise, repetition coming in and going out. Here is a washing machine. And going out, another machine, dirty machine. You can't. Okay. Let us strive for perfection. Although